is my great pleasure to welcome back to the store Ariella McCarthy, author of The Power of the Possible, both available, as you see, here in book and CD form. I'll point out, by the way, that for this evening, Ariella has consented to allow us to sell these all for 20% off this evening only. So do take advantage of that opportunity later after the talk. But Ariella, who has spoken here before, is a woman of great energy, insight, wit, and good humor. Her book, The Power of the Possible, has won a number of awards, including National Best Book Awards 2008, New York City Book Festival Awards 2008, the Mom's Choice Awards 2009, Reader's View Literary Awards 2009 Indie Excellence Awards, and Forward Magazine Books of the Year Award 2008. So you can see that the book has been vetted by many, appreciated by many, just as our speaker tonight has been previously and will again be tonight. Thank you so much for returning to Many Rivers.
Thank you for this introduction. I was very much looking forward to coming again. I don't know how many of you were here last time, but I didn't forget. That experience, it was really fantastic. This is just always, if I don't forget, I bring it because calcite crystal helps in communication. People sometimes ask, why are you having it? So that's the reason. Anyway, forgiveness. What a topic. Since the book came out, and it's been pretty much close to 2 years, I have spoken in many places. First on the book, all kinds of subjects related to the power of the possible, which are many, and more and more and more on forgiveness. And what I have come upon, to my surprise actually, how much resistance there is to the very idea. And the resistance not necessarily out of some ill intent, but very often because of lack of real understanding why we're even talking about it. Because everyone's been hurt. Everybody has a whole long story to tell of things that actually happened. They were very painful. And very often in the story would be, I don't remember that anymore, I've forgotten, I put away, why, I'm not going to go back there and remember. Well, the truth is, you have not forgotten. Told yourself you have forgotten. Found a way how to not think about it anymore and live with it, but you have not. Unless you've forgiven and let it go, and maybe you have, which is fabulous, then yes. But with it comes often the question, I don't want to forget. And sometimes you shouldn't forget. And sometimes it's a very good idea to forget. But they are two different things. Why am I talking about it? And why is so much resistance? To the point that even organizations, international organizations, that the entire work of an organization would be around forgiveness. I've spoken to without naming them, because the people are doing very good work, but even they don't understand that it is actually an imperative if we want to have a chance of healing the pain and if we want to have a chance of being free from it, free to create, free to live. This is like already a cliche, stop carrying your baggage, you carry your baggage with you, put it down. It's a cliche. Don't want to repeat it. However, a cliche becomes a cliche because it's the truth. Not possible to put it down without forgiveness. And so the questions often come, what can be forgiven, what can never be forgiven? So there is like would be a continuum. of a level of abuse or a level of inflicted pain? What about the unforgivable? Does unforgivable really exist? What about the things that I did that I have tried and tried and tried and have not been able to? The hardest. I'm sure everybody here has discovered the hardest for some reason. I'll tell you for what reason, in my opinion. Hardest is to forgive yourself. Easier to forgive someone else. And yet, it's like it's on our faces. Without it, we can't move forward. In the macrocosm, if we look around, wars don't work. I'm not telling anybody anything new. We've tried. Wars don't work. Eye for an eye doesn't work. Perhaps there was a time in history we were in a different place of consciousness. Perhaps it did work. But it doesn't. So why such resistance? Lack of understanding is one, and the other one is pain. And since there is pain, there is a reason to really reason. Justification. To really insist, because I'm right. I'm right. I was hurt. Darn it, it happened to me, and now I will just forgive? I'll just forgive? What about those people who did it to me? They just go like that? As if revenge ever brings any release. If you think about it, the advocates of death penalty have discovered that time and again. Horrible things happen to the loved ones waiting for years for the murderer to be brought to justice and to be executed. And then I can have peace. And then the execution happens. And no peace. Not only no peace, pain more alive than ever before. Documented, stories about it written. Why? Because it was easier with all the horror that has happened to a person. Denial is a very powerful mechanism. And it's a good thing that we have it because it helps survive. But it's just the first step. Then we need to actually look at what's going on inside. So as long as we could focus on justice being done, we can avoid really feeling the extent of pain. Once the murderer is killed, that excuse kind is gone. And the whole well of pain opens. So it doesn't work. So, and you're looking at a person who, in many years of my young life, when I was young, I was actually determined not to forgive. So I know what I'm talking about. And I never forgot it. It's fascinating how certain things we say and do, we just don't forget. Out of myriads of things we say and do that are much more significant than that. And I remember I was in love with a man, and I said to him, you need to know one thing about me, and it is that I can never forgive. Well, do you think there was perhaps some manipulation there? What was it? Why was I saying that? It was a threat, it was a warning, it was a manipulation. Don't hurt me. I will not. And I thought I could even say it. And I thought it was the right thing to say. And he did not recoil. He didn't. Who is this woman? It totally made sense to him. So that's the kind of man I was attracting at the time. Well, of course, it didn't work. Years later, after I woke up and began to understand, he was the first person I forgave. In meditation, through conscious work, and it was not even hard. It was harder with a lot of other people and myself. It is interesting that I'm going to tell you a couple of stories. So, because very often people say, that's okay, between two people, easy to forgive. But what about the victims of Holocaust? What about victims of genocide? What about... But the list is endless. And it's true. The list is endless. And yet, unless we forgive, change is not going to happen. And this is simply a law. Don't have to take my word for it. You can look back, you can think, you can reflect, and you will see, proven, demonstrated 100% of the times, we can decide to change, We can try, we can work at it, we can take the steps, we can read the how-to books and follow the steps. Without real forgiving, change will not happen. And you will repeat the same behavior patterns. You won't be able to stop. I did it again. Forgiveness is the step to change, then change is its byproduct. It's going to happen. So, I have a radio show. And 2 years ago, a little less, a year and a half ago, for the International Day of Forgiveness in August, celebrated in Marin. We have an International Day of Forgiveness, actually. It's the first Sunday of August. And it was celebrating its 12th anniversary at the time. And they do a grand, grand celebration, beautiful event. They invite several people that are really known for their work with forgiveness. Of course, they have forgiven some major thing. Among them was Eva Kaur. Did I mention the last time her story or not? No, okay, great. Eva Kaur, Gisette, probably not taller than that. Beautiful, wonderful woman, filled with light, in her 70s. When she was 10 years old, she and her sister, and many, many, many members, the entire family, were taken to Auschwitz. The two girls were twins, she and her sister Miriam. You know of Dr. Death, Dr. Mengele, and his labs where experimentation was done on human beings in Auschwitz. They were very interested in twins. He thought he was God. He was going to create more blonde, blue-eyed superhumans. She was one of the two twins there. Among the things that were done to them, one twin would be injected with some horrible infection, guaranteed to die. And they would watch the child die, and as soon as the child dies, they'll kill the other one. And yeah, that's what they were doing, among other horrible things. And then they would compare the two, because they were twins. Well, the children knew. Eva Kaur, 10 years old, was injected. She doesn't even know with what, but with something really horrible. And she, of course, was deadly ill. She knew that if she dies, that means Miriam is going to be killed. And that little child, under those horrific conditions, talking about the power of the human spirit, decides, I'm not going to die. And she's ill for a very long time, while the doctors in the white robes are watching pretty much 24 hours. And she doesn't die. She doesn't die. And why am I telling you the story? But this is just one example. She said it was the easiest thing to do in a concentration camp, to die. Dying was the easiest. Out of in the millions, the handful that survived were those who actually, human spirit cannot be killed. I mean, it can be killed, but if you don't want it, it's going to be very hard to kill a human spirit. They had to really want to live, and to want to live, they have to, most survivors tell the same thing, they have to have a reason why. Very often the reason would be so I can see my family again, my wife and my son. She wanted to live so that her sister lives. That was the main reason, both survived. Okay, well, the damage, the trauma is, of course, and I need to tell you the extent of it. Years pass, decades pass. One sister lives in Israel, Eva Kaur lives in America, in Maryland. The suicide rate among Holocaust survivors is astronomically high. And you would think, if you don't really, if you haven't given it much thought, how is it these people have survived those horrors? Why do you kill yourself now? It's all inside, the pain, the anguish, what they've lived through, and inability to let go of it. And the only way to let go of it is to find a way to forgive. How do you forgive this? And they can't take it. And they kill themselves. Very mean. So Eva is living the best she can, angry, constant explosions of rage, no patience. I mean, you can imagine. And then she was asked to do a documentary for the German TV, which she did. And then her sister dies in Israel. And she said to cope with this pain of losing her sister, in general, she says the way she copes with pain is to do something really good and different to, so she can refocus. So she says, I want to find a Nazi doctor that worked in Auschwitz or in any other concentration camp. I want to find him. And where do you find him? Those, the few that's still alive, they don't advertise. Not in the Yellow Pages. So she called that German television station and says, in honor of my sister Miriam, because she asked before and they didn't give her the information, could you please connect me to Dr. Munch, because she knew they did the documentary, he was also involved. In honor of my sister Miriam, would you let me contact Dr. Munch? And they gave her the telephone or address, I'm not sure. Anyway, she made contact and asked if she could see him. And he invited her to come over. Why did she want to do it? She wanted to have a German doctor write, give a written statement that gas chambers actually did exist. So that if any, this is now I'm quoting her now, if any revisionist starts questioning and saying it never happened, that she could show it in the face. Signed by a doctor that was there on that side. So this is her goal. So she's now she flies to Germany. First time in a German airplane. German language all around. I said, how did you feel? Were you angry? She goes, I was terrified. So she was instantly that girl. She says, I was just an absolute terror. All flight. Well, she lands, of course. She makes it to the door of the Dr. Munch's apartment. A very elegant, beautiful, gracious gentleman. White hair opens the door and invites her in. Treats her incredibly well. He's very, very nice with her. And they have a conversation like two human beings. And so she says, well, how did you do it? Tell me about your experience. He says, this is the pain I live with every day of my life, the nightmares that I have seen. And he told her that apparently every night all the doctors and personnel of those labs got stone drunk because it's the only way they could deal with it. All except Dr. Mengele, who never drank. And his justification was these people are better off dying anyway than living under those conditions. All right. So anyway, but he didn't drink. His job was to stand outside the gas chamber and look into the little window as the gas was unleashed. Anyway, to watch people die and then take the report. That was his job. And every day that's what he was doing. So she asked him if he would write, he would be willing to write it as a statement. And he said, yes, absolutely. You'll sign it, you will date it. Yes, absolutely. She said, I want to take it with me for the 50th anniversary of Auschwitz liberation so that I can have it and read it there. And he did. He gave it to her. And now she's going home, and she's absolutely overcome with gratitude. Instead of hating him, there's no hate. She says, I was so grateful that he did it for me, and I wanted to give him something in return. So 6 months now, here in America, she is thinking, what can I give him? So she went to Hallmark. There was no suitable card. That's a true story. So she thought and thought and thought and thought. You know where I'm going with it, right? Probably. Anyway, suddenly, she had an insight. I will give him my forgiveness. One person to another person, I will forgive him. And this is how her own process of healing and getting free began, with this insight. She was going to forgive him. And it's like a light went on, the door opened, and she, then the 50th anniversary of the children, at this moment, if my understanding, it happened. She forgave. Now, they all meet there for the anniversary. You know, the energy there, you can just imagine. Of course, that didn't change. And she was there with many other survivors with their children. She was there with her two adult children. And standing there, suddenly, she was able to forgive the entire thing. She forgave everyone that she remembered in person, and the entire mindset, and the entire Nazi mentality, and the whole thing. And after that, standing right there, I mean, forgiveness is a process, but it can also happen like that. And so here's a story. Well, it took her 50 years to get there. But forgave all that, and then she forgave her parents. Why would she forgive her parents? They were also killed there. Because parents are supposed to protect children, and they did not. See how it's completely not logical or rational? Everybody died in the family. They didn't say, the parents didn't say anything. So for 50 years, she hated her parents. She said, I hated my parents. And so she saw that, she just saw the whole thing. Forgave the parents, and then she forgave herself for hating them. And she was free. And she was free. And she speaks everywhere. She is just a light. She's full of spunk. She is just unbelievable. You would never even imagine that she has that in her past. She's continuously coming across tremendous resistance from other Holocaust survivors, who, not all of them, but a great number of them, hate her. How? Including her husband, he doesn't hate her, but they don't talk about it. Husband is also a survivor. How can you forgive these animals? How could you? And I said, well, what do you answer? What do you say? And she says, because I deserve it. She goes, it's about me. I deserve it. I didn't do anything wrong. And here is the key. Is forgiveness for the perpetrator or for the victim? For the victim, for the victim, for the victim. If it helps the perpetrator, great. But it is between them and them. Between them and their consciousness. Between them and God. Between them and God and Goddess and all that is. None of our business. Somebody, I heard Marianne Williamson speak, and she was telling a story of her friend who's a Holocaust survivor. And that woman, unfortunately, I don't remember the name, and she said, Hitler got 4 years of my life. I'm not giving him a day more. It makes logical sense, doesn't it? Between them and them. But, I was raped every night since I was 7 to like 10, 15. How can I forgive? It's between him and his conscience. Do you want to carry it for the rest of your life? You can. A lot of people say, but I don't. Okay. It's a free country. We are beings of free will. It's a planet of free will. Don't have to. And the soul is concerned with only one thing, that we grow. So we refuse to move forward. And the soul says, buddy, I have forever. I have eternity. Not now, then some other time. I mean, and so, okay, now we moved past answering already a few questions, right? Why? What about deserving? It's not about deserving. It's about, do you want to be free? How do I forgive myself? Same way. But it is so hard. Yes, you know why it is so hard? Because in order to be able to forgive yourself, you have to be able to acknowledge what you did. Acknowledge so that there is some substance, some meat, something to forgive. And it is not in the mind, it's not intellectual. I know what I did, but did you feel it? Did you feel that anguish, or did you hate yourself instead? Which is what mostly we do. Self-hate, self-judgment, self-recrimination has nothing to do with feeling the pain and the sadness and the remorse. nothing to do with it. In fact, it stops everything. Start feeling that you're a really bad, bad human being, and that's the end of a process. Nowhere to go. There's no feeling there. It locks all the doors. But it's a mechanism that we erroneously believe protects us from seeing how, quote-unquote, ugly we are. But we're not ugly. We could have done something ugly. We could have done some wrong things. I am sure everybody has on the continuum in various degrees. So you want to never do it again? Unless you really forgive yourself, there's not going to be that much love to give. You are giving, but not as much as you can, as is available in your being because of the self-judgment. So, okay, everything is forgiven by the divine. It's a whole week to say, no, 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 not this, I don't deserve it. In order to get there, we need to find a way to give ourselves permission to really feel the remorse for our actions. And that is, interestingly enough, the scariest thing for people to feel. A quote from The Life of Bees, and not exact quote because unfortunately I didn't see it. Somebody, I get a lot of emails, all kinds of things, a lot of, on that subject. Somebody sent me that quote, and the quote was, most people, when given the choice to forgive or to die, would run right out to buy a coffin. Very observant. Forgive yourself. I can't look at this. I'm not going to look at this. I did this. I can't face it. But you can. And you have to face it alone. You can call on the light. You can call on any connection that you have. All of you here, spiritual beings, you wouldn't be here otherwise. You wouldn't be in this bookstore. You certainly wouldn't come to listen to me. I know people will buy my book and never open it. And a friend comes and takes it. And it changes her life. Happens all the time. Or, you know, all kinds of things. It's the energies. Unless you're ready to hear it, you wouldn't be here. What you'll do with it, everybody has a choice, and we all have our cadence. You know, sometimes it's quick, sometimes it takes time to get there, but how I got onto the subject. Remorse. So, it doesn't have to be like, now I'm going to wallow in what I did. No, wallowing is not, it's not feeling. Wallowing is feeling sorry for yourself. It's an anesthetic against the feeling. It's like, let me take this pill. I'll be sorry for myself. Oh, I did this horrible thing. I don't feel anything anymore. No, I'm just going to sleep. No, really, it takes courage. It takes courage. It takes guts. But it doesn't have to be even 2 hours. Oh, what if it is 2 hours? What if it is 2 weeks? And you just stay there and you honor yourself in this way. It may be 10 minutes of honest feeling. And with this, I'm going to forgive it. And then comes the question, how? And how is a very, it's an interesting question, because sometimes it can happen just like that, like the light went on, but unfortunately it doesn't happen that often and to everyone. But it happens with first the understanding and then the choice. I want to do it. I really want to. And then how? One of the ways, very effective and very powerful, is meditative way. And I'm going to take you on a on a short guided visualization just to give you a taste. And it's very powerful and a lot of things can happen. So stay open-minded. 2 weeks ago, a little less, on Sunday will be 2 weeks, I was speaking in New York. I was invited to speak at the Reformed Temple of Forest Hills, New York. And I've never spoken in the temple. Never spoken in any organizations that are religious-based, but, you know, spirituality is spirituality. Everybody has their own. If it's real, it's real. So, you know, people are people. I was invited. I was very happy to come. A lot of people, for their usual, about like, smiling, about 60, between 60 and a little more people came, various ages, and a good number of them were in their 70s. Why I would mention it was the difference of age. The older, the more kind of we get entrenched in how we are. not a rule, but usually. Okay, so, and I talked longer than it was, that we had time, and I looked at my, and I said, oh my God, you know what, we are running out of time. You want to skip the meditation and just do the question and answer? And the whole room, no! And I was very surprised, because the people who organized it, they were very, very apprehensive. You want to take them on meditation. And I said, oh, it's just a guided visualization. It's not hypnosis. Everyone's, you're in charge. You're sure? I said, well, if they don't want to, we won't do it. And I never wanted to. And I'm telling you, the emails still are coming. Still are coming. One woman came up to me afterwards, and she said, she told me about her recurring nightmares, which very many of us have had variation on the theme. In the middle of the street, naked, no clothes, no money, no, an anxiety nightmare, pretty much. And she says, it's so strange because I am very well off. Why am I naked and no clothes? It's a metaphor. Okay. Well, this woman sent an email that the nightmares are gone. Like, in the, you know, in capital, gone. Instead, she had a dream where she went shopping. I was just, you know, this is a very touching thing to hear, isn't it? She went shopping. It's a great message, subconscious is giving her, no? So, happens or doesn't happen, but you'll get a taste. So, and I shall say, you don't have to, if you don't want to do it, don't close your eyes. And if you just don't like it and want to walk out, my feelings won't be hurt. And we will, it is not going to be. Usually, I'd like to do it longer, but we don't have, the format isn't. You know, we have only a little over an hour for the whole thing. So I want to take us on a guided visualization, and then we'll have questions and answers. We'll now tell you a few more things. Let me just think if I have something to do. Yeah, another thing important that I forgot, often forget about it. Sometimes, in the process of forgiveness, when you, if you decide I'm going to do it, and you start working with it, and it's just, it's, as I said, it comes in phases. I just stay with it. It's very hard sometimes to forgive what was done to us or what we did, the what of it, the actual action. Very hard. And if it is, it's all right. You have to forgive that. Forgive the why. And that is enough. What do I mean, forgive the why? The famous words of Jesus Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I don't care where anybody here is, including myself, vis-a-vis Christianity, and whether you think it were actual events, 100%, or whether it's a myth, and I'm not going to even go there. It doesn't matter. There is no greater example of a soul in the midst of unimaginable physical pain forgiving, asking for forgiveness, for they know not what they do. What does it mean? It's like examples for us of like over 2,000 years. If we would just listen. But when we're ready, we're ready, when we're ready. Not the moment before. Everyone individually. On that time, very few people are born monsters, if anybody is ever born monsters. But things happen, bad things, painful things, and something gets twisted. And some people are more equipped to survive and move on, and some are not. And tons of examples in the same family, two brothers, equally abused. One becomes a humanitarian teacher, the other one is a drunk, drinks himself to death. One could cope and went on, and out of that found strength to... Neither one is better than the other, no. One was able not... His spirit somehow wasn't broken. We are all different. It's not what happened to us. It's how we were able to handle it. So... But to why I'm talking about it, to understand that when pain is inflicted and when something gets twisted and very, very damaged, very often a person then, out of that condition, begins to, continues to perpetrate it on other people. Does it justify it? Does it excuse it? Of course not. But it makes forgiving more possible, more attainable, because you can understand. You may not forgive what was done, but you understand why that particular being was capable of that, and that you can forgive, including yourself. You know, and that's all that is necessary. And with time, the what will just happen. It's time, or not, but you will think about it and you will, it would not hurt. You wouldn't have that reaction. Talking about forgiving and forgetting, you may not forget or you may forget. But if you don't, if you didn't forget, thinking about it will not cause any pain. At some point it will be as if you read about it in a book about you somewhere. Someone told you. Yeah, I get it. I know it happened. Can you believe it? Like this.
But you said you don't forget the what, but you forget the why.
Not forget, forgive.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot.
Yeah. If you can't forgive the actual action that was done to you or that you did, you can't forgive because you understand the reason. What made that person capable? What must have happened to him or to her that made them capable of that level of cruelty? And understanding makes forgiving more attainable, and in time it will happen. I have a story in this book, The Power of the Son Forgiving His Father. No, the Son Who Forgave His Father, I think that's the title of the chapter. And he was still young, well, in his 20s. All the stories are true, by the way. It's one of those rare cases where it was an instant awakening, and he just realized, he looked at his father's life, immensely abusive father, immensely abusive. Physically, emotionally, even worse than physically, and never not drunk. And he, suddenly this young man, who of course lived separately by then, woke up and just suddenly saw the whole picture, looked at his father's life, realized what had happened to him, said to himself, I would have never been able to survive that. What he did to me is nothing in comparison to what he lived through. I'm going to forgive him. And that moment it happened. He didn't even know, he just decided, and he got into the car to drive to see his father. The father was like days away from death. He could barely walk, liver was gone. Nobody could mention to him going to rehab, like fear of death. Couldn't even mention. The son came, having forgiven him as he was driving. He didn't say, Dad, I forgive you. It would be a smack on the face. He didn't say anything. He just came to say hello. But he came with a very different energy. Because what was there wasn't there anymore. And the father, just giving you a little bit of that story, the father tried the usual patterns, taunting, teasing, abusing. And was like water off the duck's back. He didn't react. And after a while, the man was lost. He didn't know what to do with it. And more time passed, and for the first time in probably, I don't know, in forever probably, since the boy was a kid, the father looked at him with the eyes like he just looked at him and saw how handsome the boy was, how, you know, clean and clean shaven, because he used to be drunk as well, everybody was drinking. And said to himself, but it is too late for me. And before he knew it, out of his mouth comes, I should stop drinking. True story. And his son, who spent years in AA and knew how to react, and said, oh yes, let's go to rehab, which was, of course, immediately would stop everything. He just said, yeah, it's a good idea. And kept reading newspaper, whatever he was doing. And more time passed, and the dad, his father said, can't do it today. I have to return the books to the library. It's a real reason. And the son said, I can take them for you if you want. A little more time passed, and suddenly he yells, calling his wife from another room, drive me to the rehab. And they went, and he never drank again. And this is like probably 25, 27-year-old story. And I actually know the man. Beautiful. Beautiful being. I didn't know him then. And they have a wonderful relationship. And his son says, I know the past happened to me. I know that, but I'm not even sure it did. I know that he can't even the slightest emotion to that. It's not. So it's just a true story. I was very inspired. I didn't plan to give you the whole story. I wanted to get the book. But there are other stories, and there's more in there. Anyway, any questions? We'll do questions and answers later. Are you ready to just have a little experience? Okay. So we're just going to dim the lights.
Dim enough, or do you want another?
If you can, more it would be great. So close your... Can you hear me well? Mm-hmm. Close your eyes and begin to relax. It's a wonderful feeling to just relax. To give yourself permission to simply let go. Easy, nothing to do, nothing to think about. Simply relax. And if it doesn't feel comfortable, you can keep your eyes open and just stay and listen. You will experience it anyway. I will just once again remind you, this is not hypnosis. You are 100% in charge through the entire time and always open your eyes. And with this, continue to go deeper. Simply relax. Simply relax following the sound of my voice and allow yourself to drift as if you're floating somewhere. You don't know where, nor do you care. Just imagine that you're light as a feather in your body, floating somewhere. And as you're floating, your body gets softer and softer and warmer, so that you can forget about it, as if you don't even have it. And at some point, during your relaxation, you're going to land in a beautiful meadow surrounded by beautiful trees. It's going to be your favorite time of day. It will be in summer. It will be wonderful, warm, and absolutely safe. And you will feel supported and loved by the elements themselves, by the very nature that is around you. So continue to keep floating, continue to go deeper, and at the sound of a one, you will find yourself there in the middle, sitting there among the grasses with your eyes closed. Five, going deeper and deeper, going deeper and deeper, floating and drifting. Not a worry in the world, how wonderful. You just give yourself permission to let go. Four, going deeper, relaxing, floating, relaxing, letting go, going deeper. Three, you will find yourself in the middle, but not before the count of one. In the meantime, you are floating on your way there, in your imagination. Two, going deeper and deeper, continuing to float. At the count of one, sitting in the meadow with your eyes closed on a wonderful summer day, your favorite time of day. And one. And one. Feel yourself there. Your eyes are closed. Your eyes are closed. But you know where you are. Everything feels comfortable and safe and warm. Feel the air on your cheeks. Perhaps it's a breeze. Perhaps you feel the touch of sun. How pleasant, how wonderful. And now inhale. Inhale and allow yourself to be filled with the aroma of that meadow. Perhaps it's the grass, the field flowers. Perhaps you can smell the pine that is not too far away. Maybe the air, the wind brings the sea breeze not far away, the sea. Just inhale. It could be very subtle scent. It could be strong. And now open your eyes and look at the sky. See the beauty of the sky, your favorite time of day. Glorious, glorious sky. Allow your eyes to travel. Look around you. Look around you. See the beauty of nature. Feel how supported you are and how loved. Nothing is asked of you. Nothing is required. You're wonderful just the way you are. Accept it with all your weaknesses, with all your strengths, with your humanness. Loved, seen, and accepted by the elements. And the elements are exalted. Now reach out and touch something around you to make the place more real. Touch the grass, perhaps. Maybe the earth underneath. Whatever else is there, maybe get up. Get up, perhaps. Yes, get up. Walk. Perhaps touch the bark of the tree that's at the edge of the meadow. Or maybe a flower, a field flower. Touch the petal. Oh. Now straighten. straighten yourself and feel your feet connecting to the earth. Feel that connection. Ground yourself to the earth and for a moment just allow yourself to feel this spasm of gratitude for the earth that is always there, that we take for granted, not giving it much thought, yet it supports us and it's always there. How unsafe we instantly become if it shakes, and how grateful we are that it is there, but not enough because we take it for granted. So give it a moment. Send your thanks to the earth. And now, call on your unseen friends, on guidance. If you have your own connection with any guides from the other realm, then call on them. If you don't, it doesn't matter. You do have them, even if you haven't made a connection yet. Call perhaps on the angelic presence. Call on your angels. Call on your higher consciousness. Call on the presence of the gods, of gods. On anyone that is more than you, that is so ready. They're all ready. You have the entire entourage. Every one of us has the entire entourage of unseen friends, never interfering, respecting our free will. But when we ask, how quickly the help comes if we ask and allow it. Here's the key word, ask and allow. So call on them, and if you see them, you can see them as beings of light, perhaps spheres of light or ellipses of light. You may see them taking the human form just for you, or maybe you see nothing. It doesn't really matter. Just the act of calling is enough, and you're not alone. And now, look, in the center of the middle, there is a staff of birch or of oak, a clean, long stick, about waist high. Go to the center and pick up that stick, that staff, and hold it in both of your hands. And lean forward and let the point, the tip of it, touch the ground. And as it touches the ground, begin to move clockwise, slowly and determinedly, drawing a circle in that meadow. Even if the surface is grass, you can still draw the circle. It will be very visible. So keep turning, drawing that circle. Now a quarter of a circle clockwise, continuing to move. Another quarter of a circle, perhaps walk at your own speed, perhaps faster, perhaps slower, eventually catching up. Now half a circle is drawn. Keep moving. Another quarter done. And now the last quarter to draw, so that the circle will end where it began, as it always does. And as you draw the circle, drop the staff on the ground and walk outside the circle and stand wherever it feels right outside the circle. Find your place. And now take a moment. Take a moment to think who it is that tonight you are ready to forgive, or you want to give it a chance. It could be yourself. It could be someone else. Take a moment to think. And as you are thinking, have the humility also to allow it to be different. You've called on help. And if someone else is more appropriate, that someone else will show up. In the majority of cases, it will be according to your choice, but have the humility to allow it to be what will be. And as you're thinking about it, perhaps deciding, perhaps you knew already, make one last request of those light beings that are there to support you. Ask them to lift your resistances. Lift my resistance to allowing this process to be real. Absolutely, voice this request with every fiber of your being, meaning it. Lift my resistance to allowing this experience of forgiveness to be real. And pause for a second. Perhaps some of you can feel something being pulled out of you energetically to lift it, perhaps drained into the earth. Perhaps you can't feel it at all. It really doesn't matter. The asking is enough, but it is being done to the safe degree. To the safe degree, very important. Not more than is safe for you. Just right. And now. Now look ahead of you and see that from the other end, from the other end of the meadow, right across, someone is appearing and beginning to walk towards the circle. Who is it? A small figure becoming larger as they walk. I'm going to say they, but it's going to be probably, most probably, just one person, either a man or a woman, or it's him. See them walking and stopping right outside the circle opposite to you. Make the eye contact. Look at the person without a word. Just look at each other. You are going to speak. They're not going to respond. Not yet. You're completely and totally safe. So say to that person or to yourself what it is that was done. What it is that was done. That was so painful, that was so damaging, that was so hurtful. Not how you felt, just what was done. But you already know it. It doesn't matter. Speak it. Speak it. There is magic in the telling. Allow yourself, perhaps for the first time in a long, long time, to give it voice. And just say, this is what you did. Even if you're speaking to yourself, you saying it to you, this is what you did, or this is what I did. And just say, recount, and if there's a numerous episode, speak it all. They're there only to listen. And if feelings come, which I certainly hope they do, and they will, don't fight them. It's no one there but the two of you. Nobody is seeing or witnessing but your unseen support. Say it all. What was done? Doesn't matter how long ago. Whether it was very recently or whether it was when you were 6 years old and you are still living that pain. Or whether it was a repeated abuse. Just say it honestly. And as you're finishing and coming to an end, telling what it was, get ready to walk clockwise a quarter of a circle. And do that now. As that person does the same, walking clockwise a quarter of a circle, and both of you stop again outside the circle looking at each other. Once again you will speak. This time you will say what impact it had on you. They can't respond to you. Just tell them what it did to you. How you couldn't sleep at night. How you were ashamed. How you felt less than human, perhaps. How much hurt. How much this betrayal, perhaps, cut you. How you were never able to trust again. Not really. How perhaps it has affected all future relationships. How the trust was broken with yourself. How you tried so many times to put it behind you and never succeeded. Whatever is true for you, do not embellish it. Do not dramatize it. Do not make it more. Be honest, nor diminish it. Don't soften it. tell the truth, the impact it had on you, how it changed something in you, how perhaps it broke your spirit, not fully, but to such an extent, how much rage there's been since, how much less energy, how it affected your health perhaps. And you've tried to forget and never really succeeded. Say it all, no drums. As you're saying this, feel it in your gut, feel it in your heart, feel it wherever it is hidden, wherever you have tucked away that pain. We always tuck it in the body, like a little time bomb or a big time bomb ticking away, ready to explode. And it does explode, except we never know when. And as you're finishing sharing, telling that impact with yourself or with that other, get ready to move again a quarter of a circle. And begin clockwise, continue a quarter of a circle. And that person you were talking to does the same. And now the two of you stop again vis-a-vis each other. Now opposite places of where you began, looking at each other. It is their turn now to respond. You will just listen. You will not respond. Let them speak. Perhaps it is the first time they will tell you their story. How they view it. What happened from their experience. You may be surprised by what you hear. Perhaps they're deeply sorry. Perhaps they're devastated by what they've just done. Perhaps they're not sorry at all, trying to explain it away, justifying, blaming you. Perhaps they're telling you something that also happened to them that you had no idea about. Perhaps they can't even speak and are just standing there, their head bent in shame. Maybe they're crying, maybe they're defiant. Just observe and listen and take it in. This is your chance. In that safe place, so much easier to allow the realness. Two people talking. And now, as they're coming to an end, remember, forgiveness does not mean reconciliation. You do not have to take that person back, ever, unless you want to. All it means is you are setting yourself free. Forgiveness does not take away the accountability. All it means you are setting yourself free. And as they're finishing, or finished perhaps, again you walk a quarter of a circle, both of you, clockwise, stopping now again, vis-a-vis each other. And now you respond to what you've just heard. Respond from your heart, honestly. You may say, what you said to me is a lie. You're the same as you've always been, and that's all right. I needed to hear it. Perhaps you've been moved by what you heard. Perhaps you're surprised by your reaction. Maybe something's happening inside of you you never imagined. Maybe not at all. just respond. Respond to what they said. Accept it partially. Dismiss it. Respond honestly. No one there but you, the two of you. No one ever will know unless you want to share. And if you do, only with those worthy of your trust. Respond. And if it's your conversation with yourself, respond to yourself. Feel the remorse. Feel the remorse of you across the circle and of you standing and looking at you across the circle. You're two and you're one. And once again you move. Last quarter. Coming to the place where you've begun, both of you. And you're ready. That person remains where they were across the circle. You, however, walk into the circle and come to the center. Come to the center and pause there. And make a choice to be done with this. You've carried it enough. You've paid the price of it enough. You don't need to carry it any longer. And looking at that person or at yourself, say it out loud. I'm letting it go. I forgive you. Whether you can feel it or not, keep repeating it. I forgive you. I understand. I understand. I understand, and so I forgive. I forgive you. I am letting it go. I forgive you. Keep repeating it. Keep repeating it. And as you're repeating it, you're feeling things in your body. Let it happen. Don't analyze. Don't think. Drop your thinking process. Stay with the words and feel their power. I forgive you. And as you're repeating it, realize forgiveness is a mystery. The ultimate forgiveness is given to us. Ours is to receive it. Ours is to choose to receive it, to do our part. I forgive you, you repeat, and the person begins to fade. What was very clear, their shape, their body, is now fading and fading and fading as you are repeating, I forgive you, I forgive you. You're speaking from your gut. You're speaking from some deep, deep, deep place inside of you. You didn't even know was there. I forgive you. There's no one there standing anymore. You keep repeating it. And as you are repeating it, suddenly the place is beginning to be filled with the color purple descending from above. A glorious, huge purple sphere descends and envelops you in it. And you can see nothing else but purple. Powerful, incredible, healing purple, and in it you are lifted. You do not know where, nor do you care, but you are no longer standing on the ground. In that sphere of purple, you are lifted and suspended. And that purple seems to be penetrating you. There is incredible power in the color. It is an electromagnetic frequency conducive to allowing the experience of forgiving. It is a chemical reaction happening inside your body. You do not need to understand it, nor can you. We cannot. Even if we have scientific explanation, pages written, none of it would ever begin to touch it. Allow the experience. Feel the purple entering every chakra centers, every opening of your body, every crevice through your pores, through your eyes, through your mouth, through your ears, until you are this one glorious purple being, and all around you is nothing else but purple. And let the color do its work. the messages happening. Feel the purple beginning to be filled with gold speckles. More and more and more and more gold speckles inside of you and outside of you until no purple can be seen anymore. It's been absorbed by gold. Gold outside of you and gold inside of you, and you are that shining gold being. Who would have imagined? Allow, it's a mystery. Allow the mystery of this experience. Don't try to analyze it. Who can't? Let it happen. And in that gold light, feel your body descending until your feet touch the ground. You're still in the gold. Gold is all around you, and you are filled with it. But your feet are on the ground. Open your eyes. No more gold. No more purple. You have absorbed it. You have absorbed it. And know that it will continue to do its work through the rest of the evening, as you sleep tonight. And now, the force of forgiveness, that mystical, majestic force of forgiveness that has no words in our language, showing as a white light, is filling the space, not from above, but from everywhere, from right, from left, from before you, from behind you, from below, and from above. And everything is filled with white light. It is the force of forgiveness, the ultimate mystery. Let it work on you. Let it work on you. Feel the light touch on your shoulder. Don't turn. You're being called back. Make a few steps backwards. Gentle steps. A few more steps backwards. Gently. A few more steps. The gentle hand on your shoulder, right or left, is directing you. Until you know without seeing it that you've stepped outside the circle. Close your eyes and fill yourself with gratitude the best you can for yourself, for having allowed the experience, for having the courage, for having the power, for having the willingness. Be thankful to you and be thankful to the Divine. To everyone from the other realms that's been guiding all this experience so divinely choreographed right now at the end of this year, so we can begin anew. And as you're feeling this, get ready to return, staying in the reverie, staying in the feeling of gratitude, knowing that something has been fundamentally changed inside of you and feeling very safe and comfortable with it. You have allowed it to the extent that was right for you, perhaps a lot more than you even know. And at the count of five, you will open your eyes and be right back here, but not before. One, getting ready. Two, returning, knowing that you're coming back. Three, coming back. Four and five. And here you are. Open your eyes. Touch something. Touch your third eye area. Bring yourself back. Perhaps stretch. Touch an object. You've gone very far. And now you're back here. Take a deep breath. That's all together. Take a deep breath and hold it. Hold it. And a loud exhale. And welcome back. Stretch, and there we are. Keep the experience sacred. Don't share it unless it's safe to share it with somebody you can really trust. Keep it close to your heart. It will continue working on you. It was just a taste, but sometimes it's all that happens. This is needed. All right, come back here. It's hard to return sometimes. And we have time for questions. Questions? questions or sharing or anything. So
this idea about forgiveness, it is not. I didn't know exactly what forgiveness involved, and I was so happy to hear you say that it didn't involve reconciliation.
It does not. I don't know what it is.
That I don't have to take them and love them as I did before.
Absolutely. You don't. Never. Unless you want to.
That's good to know.
It's good to know, yeah. Because I thought that was part of it.
Yeah, a lot of people think that. It's one of the misconceptions. No, it's for you. So you can move on. You know? Move along. The rest of your life? Why? Like Eva Kaur said, I deserve it. What an answer. I work personally with people one-on-one. One of my clients, born-again Christian. Our belief systems as far from each other, and yet the essence is the same. Christianity, what's the main concept? Forgive me. And the man had no idea how to believe it. Eventually started forgiving his mother. Pain in the neck began to change, pain in the back, the constant buzz in the ear stopped, and he wrote to me an email, forgiveness, what a concept. I quote it everywhere. But I'm saying, born again Christian, forgive, like you never heard. Makes you humble.
I'm wondering if there's a tape, I think that'd be beneficial to have it,
Thank you for asking that and reminding me. 2 years ago, I recorded this meditation, only a longer version of it, more involved. Not to say that a shorter doesn't work and a longer works. It's not that. It's about your choice. But that meditation with a little variation, because they're always all different. I can never say the same thing. And it's all kind of channeled. This meditation, forgiving, this one is pretty much to forgive another. Since we were doing it, in one you can, another can be you, absolutely. And then there is another meditation that I recorded at the time, forgiving yourself, which is a very, very different one. Both of them are on my website, homepage. My website is orielmccarthy.com. Spelling is here. If you forget it, take my card. The website is powerofthepossible.com. Absolutely, take my cards because my spelling, but definitely Oriella will be misspelled. Homepage, it's not in the links, but if you go down a little bit, homepage on the right side of it, so it's in the center, can't miss it. Download free, just click and download, and they're yours forever. Since then, in August will be 2 years, so it's a year and a half now. I cannot tell you the numbers of people that have downloaded them. Internationally, tons of people from India. The books in India, I mean, there are a number of foreign editions, so from these countries, from Denmark, from everywhere. I don't know these people, and then they become now my subscribers to get my newsletter, which is one click and you unsubscribe. I have to get it if it's not interesting. But yeah, and there are these two meditations, and they're yours, and they work. So I was going to tell you, and I forget, so do them. Okay, ask something.
So,
let's talk.
Why are we so, why am I so resistant to forgiving others and forgiving myself? It seems this always this hurdle. And yet, when I experience it, as you said, it's so uplifting. Mm-hmm. And the sensation is so wonderful. What is it that...
It's a fantastic question. Believe it or not, the desire to be right is so strong. It is such a need. I was hurt, and I was. Bad things were done to me, and they were. I'm right. They wronged me. I don't want to. It's like I don't want to take them off the hook. Did they apologize? Did they own what they did to me? No. It's a very, very natural. Look at any interaction, and it just perpetuates it. This is the problem. And the wisest people here, the entire book, story after story, all through stories, because I'm a writer, they're not written as case studies, they're written like you're totally there, as if you're reading fiction, except they're true stories, just names are changed and geographies changed, you know, for privacy. There's nothing that's not explained. People read them several times with highlighters, which is, you know, very, very moved. I get a lot of emails, that's why I know about it. But how many emails I get just read your book? Just 2 days ago, from dinner. Thank you so much. Da, 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 da. Half of the emails are usually long, half of the email, and then it goes, what shall I do? Like they haven't read a word. What shall I do? I'm still so angry. I'm still so angry. This is what happened to me, and I just can't, and I want to kill myself, or I want to kill them, or I want to kill him. It's not that the person is not intelligent. It's like we have those filters, of course, filters and screens and prisms that kind of interferes with comprehension. And the most intelligent people, I'm interviewed on the radio, explain everything in greatest detail, why you shouldn't try to change somebody else, just deal with yourself. Don't wait for them to change. Live your life, forgive, let go, accept them how they are. You can't change anybody else. Have you noticed that? And then I'm asked by the same person, the interviewer, I understand that in my family there is an uncle who drinks. And what should we do? What? On the radio, live. And I think, well, I don't know, just answer this. What shall I do? It's a filter, like, because it's so hard, just want to, perhaps there is a way, and there isn't. The only way is to let go. So it's like, that is the thing to get. If the one thing to get, there's nothing else to do. Look at the Middle East. If you talk to one side, and I don't, before we have some people on this side, some people on the other side. How many people really understand that there are no sides? If you talk to the Palestinian side, they will tell you stories. And they're 100% right. And they hate. And you talk to the Israelis, and they will tell you stories. And they're 100% right. And does it work? No, so what to do? 2,000 years. How's it going? And remember, when there was peace was signed, Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat, what happened? Both got killed. By whom? By their own people. Signed the peace treaty. Each one got the Nobel Prize. Each one knew what future position will be at home. And they were both killed. Not by the opposite side, by their own people. It's all in front of us. Yes.
That what you just mentioned, them being killed by their own people, brings up. Oh, sorry, did you finish answering his
question? Did I answer?
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry. Is that? What if you feel like you've forgiven and let go, but
yes.
But the person who wronged you can't let it go. They can't believe you've really forgiven them.
There's
so
nothing
they continue
you can
to
do.
Needler.
By the way, if you have really forgiven, they will know. There's something happening. Because if you really did, they will know. They don't want to accept. Their energetic connections between people that we have strong feelings about, good or bad, is unbelievable. The moment you forgive, it can be in Alaska, he or she, or, you know, I don't know, even further. They know. And they may not want to because they haven't forgiven themselves. Maybe they're angry at you for other reasons, right or wrong. But it's not about them. You want to forgive and then you want also to get them to come back. It's a whole other issue. Let it go. Just forgive. Quick example. A few years ago, I was at a forgiveness workshop. It was 3 days workshop. It was fantastic. It was on the East Coast. And by then, I've forgiven everybody I could even think of, including everything myself that I could think of. But there I am, and here's the opportunity, and they were going on a meditation to forgive. Well, I don't want to miss the opportunity. So, what should I forgive? I decide, I'm married a second time, very happily. But I was married the first time, happily for a long time, and then very unhappy. Hence, the second time. So, I decide, okay, my first husband's name is Alex. I'm going to forgive Alex again. But for what? Oh, there will be something. Never mind. So, once again, I forgive him. I don't even remember really what. The whole, you know, there's always deeper. You can always go deeper. More. And it, because it didn't work. Okay. Then come back. By that time already, we're all pals. My ex-husband, his wife, my husband, Michael, we're all four of us are friends. It really is possible. Took a few years. but we don't socialize. Unless we have some family occasions, because we have a son. Invites us to dinner, so he calls, invites us. He has no idea that this happened. And I don't have strong feelings connecting us. But of course, my ex-husband, of course there is a connection. Know each other since we were kids. Mm-hmm. Okay, we go to dinner. The four of us go to dinner. Chatting. Somehow his mother's name comes up. His mother was horrible. Forgave her too. And she is long deceased by then. So his new wife, who adores him, doesn't, never met her. And he obviously doesn't know much about her deceased mother-in-law. And she goes, oh, I wish I met her. And all three of us, no, you don't. Including her son. And it's kind of funny, you know. And at that point, Alex excuses himself to go to the bathroom. And she goes, why did you react like this? Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, do you want to really hear it? Well, she was, give her a few examples, but I have no charge anymore. You know, just kind of, it's like a funny story. And she goes, really, why doesn't he, did he stand up for you? And we were so young. Did he stand up for you? Did he, like, defend you? And I'm saying, no, he didn't. She goes, come. And I said, he didn't know how to. He just, nobody could really stand up to this woman. He was weak, couldn't do it, too young. He comes back from the bathroom. He doesn't know this conversation happened, talking about it. He has no idea. He comes back, sits at the table, looks at me, and says, Ariella, I never really apologized for never standing up for you with my mother. True story. And the three of us are, huh? He goes, I never defended you. Now I wouldn't need to be defended. I was way too young. And I wasn't going to forgive, remember? So, and he says, I'm really, really sorry, because I never did. And I just looked at him and I said, well, thank you, Alex. I appreciate it. And on we went. It didn't really, oh, it didn't change my life. No, it was very nice. I appreciated it. And that was it. But if I wanted to get it, I would not have gotten it. My energy of needing would block it. So I never got it before. More questions? Less.
So, I find myself thinking or wondering, would the drama of forgiveness be so great if there weren't impossible things to forgive?
Question of the ages.
and another thing, the gentleman was using the word resistance. How do you find yourself resistant? Without resistance, then strength would not be required of us.
Remember in the meditation, we're asked to lift resistances? Because we're human. We're going to resist, but we can also ask to be felt. We don't have to do anything alone. We really don't. And we are never alone. But if this becomes real, from words to really knowing it. Yeah, I have resistance. Of course, I don't want to forgive. I don't want to forgive the masters, but whatever. But I want to be free. I want to move on. Okay. Starts with the choice, and then it will start happening. What I want to give you these, if you can distribute, and give me back the rest, and so that we don't waste the paper. If you don't, not interested, give it to a friend, you know, or leave it somewhere in the library, because the right person will see it. Get it. It's basically information about what I do, and among many things that I do, I teach workshops. And what I am going to do, it doesn't say it here, but what I'm going to do beginning of the year, I don't know the date yet, sometime in January, maybe in February, is a two-day workshop on forgiving. Because there are steps, mm-hmm. and you want to go in depth. And you think, I was thinking 2 days or 1 day, or you can do half a day. Why not do 2 days? How many decades of carrying the stuff? And why not dedicate 2 days? You can go so much deeper. And so if you want to do it, then fill it and give it back to me. And then I will let you know. Send you the email. Mm-hmm. I never share emails. And my newsletter, by the way, is simply food for thought. People love it. It's international following. Nothing is ever sold. Mm. This gives you things to ponder. Well, okay, it's 9 o'clock. Mm. 9 o'clock. Mm. Don't want to get anything else signed.
I was just going to say that was a really interesting concept you just brought up about needing blocks you from getting.
Yeah, that's the whole book is about. Needing blocks you from getting. Because you put out this energy. It's like an attack. And when we are attacked, we fight back. Knee-jerk response. Right, wrong, doesn't matter. Somebody comes back like, stay away. The needing, that's why when you want something, you can't get it. I want the relationship, so you're going to stay in wanting. I'm happy, my life, I'm happy, I'm grateful. I have love in my life. And the relationship comes. Same with money, by the way. But this is all a whole long story, a separate workshop. Or one-on-one. Whatever. It's, if you get the book, if you read it, whenever you do it, it's so clearly shown that when we want, we are basically interfering with their will. And they don't want it. And this doesn't happen. The same with us. Somebody really wants us to do something. You don't want to do it, you want to do it because you want to do it. So sorry.
On behalf of Many Rivers, I want to thank you so much. And I want to point out to everyone that we have copies of the book here and behind the counter, and of the CD sets. And I know that Ariella will be happy to chat and sign.
Do I have to fill my cards?
There are some cards.
Pick them up.
Information. And we also have.
Give it to Beckham.
Indeed. And we also have a donation bowl over here where we encourage you to contribute both for the maintenance of this space so we can continue to bring events to you in 2010 and beyond, as well as for the support of our speakers' work. So thank you so much. We'll look forward to seeing you in the next few days here at Many Rivers, and thanks again for coming tonight.
Thank you.
How was the meditation for you? Did you like it?
Oh, yeah.